As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, you betcha. The sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there is a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, and welcome to our Tuesday, February the 2nd, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Come be alive Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, indeed, and in fact, my name remains William Roberts. Good news, well, going to be light on news today. Hard facts, a lot of that. Might advance a solution or two if we get the mind to. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive talk radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can pick up the phone, call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in at 512-904-8014 and join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Your calls are always welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net, bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96 out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's Box 96, Exeter Mo, the big Mo to me, 65647. Once again, a shout out to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, and 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting. Become vocal local to your local listening audiences. Our call-in number remains 866-841-1065. Your calls are welcome throughout today's broadcast. Precious metals today, other markets stabilizing following the usurper's budget announcement. All indicators point to economic sluggishness. I'm not going to talk too much about the news today. The history of law is going to be our main focus. We'll go back into various readings from various sources, and I'm sure you'll find it most intriguing. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go to that market report for Tuesday, February the 2nd, 2010. Active trading out of New York City, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, but 1 hour ago. Gold was trading up $5.10 an ounce at $1,110.70 an ounce. Silver up 2 cents at $16.69 a troy ounce. Whatever happened to my $19 silver anyway? Platinum moves up $4, trading at $1,553 an ounce. Palladium up $9 at $438 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning, $1,100.30 for a low, $1,117.30 for a high. And if you can do the math there, you can see it's a $17 spread. At $1,110.70, your gold is up year to year, $206 even for a 22.77%. return on your investment. You're not going to get that from the bank, folks. The London Gold Fix this morning, in the AM Gold Fix, the boys in London ran up their little flags, rang the bell, and set the price at $1,114 an ounce. We're $3.30 below that right now. The Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday closed up 118 at 10,186. It's within a scratching mark of that 10,000. Again, they better get their $10,000 hats soon. Be ready to turn around the other side or put them back in the drawer. The Dow may go below 10,000 this week. We'll see. The NASDAQ moves up 24 at 2171. The S&P was up 15 yesterday at 1089. Pick it up on the other side with crude oil, the monies, and then we'll get into some other things. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Take Cartivite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartivite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartivite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartivite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartivite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tones the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartivite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. They can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pass. Pasteurize and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Tuesday, February the 2nd, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. In the opening segment, we started out our market report for today, and we'll close that out now with the crude oil. Crude oil this morning is up 50 cents, running at $74.93 a barrel. And so it's 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude as they are delivered in Oklahoma. The U.S. dollar index this morning moves down 3 basis points. It's 79.14, virtually unchanged, which gives us an opportunity to look at these foreign exchange rates. One of the most interesting things about this little basket of currencies that I put together for us here, our North American Security and Prosperity Partnership and Euro Alliance basket. The Canadian dollar this morning running at 94 cents. The Mexican peso is still at 8 cents. Very interesting, out of all of the currencies that we've been talking about for the last 12 or so months on this network, that Mexican peso is like a little rock. It just sits there. You fill up your pockets this morning for 8 cents a piece on pesos, but it just doesn't seem to be changing. It goes up just a hair, goes down just a hair, goes up just a hair, goes down just a hair, and it's always at 8 cents U.S. So I guess if you had to diversify your portfolio in currencies, one of the more stable currencies out there might just be that Mexican peso. Again, the euro this morning is $1.39. It's continuing its slide. We've seen it up at $1.50 within recent reporting. The British pound moves down 10 basis points at $1 to $1.59. The Swiss franc has been at parity two or three times in the past year with the U.S. dollar. And today, it's down another 9 basis points, 0.09%, running at 95 cents U.S. So all of that, this little basket of foreign exchange traded, foreign exchange rates, we've gone through that before. If you're not familiar with what the foreign exchange is or what, why we even report it, you can go back and look in the archives for the broadcast and go back to the talks that we've given on the economics and a whole section on foreign exchange so that we understand what it is and why it's important, why we should know something about it. In the bond market this morning, again, looking at these bonds, it's just this is the bonded indebtedness, you could say the U.S. Treasury. But the yield on the two-year bond is, we saw it almost, well, it was above one recently. You know, at least it was in the 90s. Now it's at 0.84%, less than 1% on a two-year. The 10-year is at 3.65 this morning, and the 30-year is at 4.57. Mortgages, where are they going to go? Up, down? For a while they were going up. Now they seem to be backing off just a tad. But the 15-year mortgage is at 4.49%, and it's down from a month ago at 4.67%. The 30-year is at 5.06%. I think they've been trying to get the 30-year mortgage at 5% for a while. They've got it there now, but it was at 5.34% a month ago. So things are stabilizing a little bit, and that's basically what I said, that precious metals and all of the other markets are stabilizing following the usurper's budget announcement. Of course, you know, a lot of people are going to report on that. We have many newsmen here on this network, and there's lots of news reporters everywhere. I went up this morning. You know, I do get up rather early to do these broadcasts. I spent a couple hours reading news articles this morning, and it just strikes me once again, always we have to be paying attention to the magician's other hand. The newsmen are all pointing us to Europe and Asia and Europe and Asia and even South America and Europe and Asia and South America, even Africa in the news. But there's so very little news about the United States of America. Talking about closing down a couple of more of these refineries here in the United States. You know, that's what we really need to do, isn't it? Talking about putting more onerous restrictions and cutting funding for the mining sectors. That's really intelligent, isn't it? That's moving forward. What a progressive step that is, right? Lots of stuff like that in the news. The reports that came out yesterday as far as the consumer prices and selling and jobs and automobile industries. I mean, we're talking just about flat. You know, the patient is on the bed. It's on the gurney. It's strapped down. It's stabilized, but it ain't doing too good. So we're not going to talk too much about the news today. There's just thousands and thousands of websites and articles that you go and while away the entire day. I certainly spent several hours on it this morning, but as far as burning it off and buying the ink and the paper, bah. Doesn't sound too good to me today. Let's go back in, and we're going to spend our time on something else instead. There's so many different places we can go to look at law and a history of law and getting some basic understandings of that. It's difficult to choose as I start to go into the authors as opposed to the textbooks. Difficult to choose where to go and how to even begin this so that you can get an idea or at least a little bit of an understanding of some of the things that I've gone through in my mind. When we come to look at law, and one of the more interesting books that I have is by John Maxey Zane. It's called The Story of Law. This is another one of the Liberty Fund publications. I was able to get in contact with Liberty Fund, and we may be able to bring them on the network as a sponsor. I look forward to that in the near future. But it's going to take a little bit of negotiating, I guess it is. I'm not much of a self-promoter. And I'm not much on marketing either these days. So I did find this one rather interesting. For those of you that may have listened to Oracle Unleashed on Saturday night with myself and Robert Schroeder, Doug Owen, and Mike Chambers, we did have a call from our oft-times caller, a frequent caller out of Oregon, Mo from Oregon. We're talking a little bit about Arianism and whatnot there as it relates to Iran, the cradle of civilization, perhaps. But certainly this is interesting. Chapter 3 in this book, The Story of Law, again, John Maxey Zane, The Aryan Law. And I'll just share a little bit from this and we'll go to other places. It is a commonplace, and this book, again, is a Liberty Fund book, and this was published originally, if I can find it quickly. Let's see. John Maxey Zane lived from 1863 to 1937, and I'm looking for, this was originally published in 1927 by Ives Washburn Incorporated, and it was republished in 1998 by Liberty Fund. The copy I have open on my table in front of me. Chapter 3, The Aryan Law, this is how it reads. John Maxey Zane writes, "It's a commonplace among ethnologists that they can discern three primary races." And just listen to the words, the way that he's coming off his pen here. "The Negro, the Mongolian, and the Caucasic. This may be proven by cross-sections of human hair, if in no other ways. There was a Nilotic race, so-called, because in its original form, it is still found along the Nile, and because it came probably from that region. This undifferentiated race may, many ages ago, furnished probably the basis for the Caucasic races. Its main developments correspond to the descendants of the three sons of Noah, the Hamites, the Semites, and the sons of Japheth." Interesting, isn't it? This, the story of Law, and we're looking at the three sons of Noah, as if we can lock that down with any kind of historiosity. But we'll give it to him for that and just proceed. Right after these words from our sponsors. Stay with us. Much more to come on today's broadcast. Going to cover some rather interesting history and some information about law.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
If a claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies. agency's violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
See the reality behind the illusions. Join us on the Iconoclast Report, Saturdays, 12 to 4 p.m., shattering paradigms, one show at a time.
Yeah, I like it. Carlos Santana, love it. Really good guitar player. Grew up with him, basically, in the speakers of my 57 Chevrolet convertible, playing off the radio. Lots of fun to drive that car around in the summertime in Seattle with the top down, take it out to Golden Gardens and just park it there and turn up the radio. Well, that was a long time ago. Pretty nice automobile, though. I don't think they've ever made another one as beautiful as the 57 Chevrolet. Back to our article here. This is actually a text, Chapter 3, the Aryan Law. Very interesting way to begin this idea of the Aryan Law. You know, all of our laws come from our customs, our tongues, our tribes, our traditions. They rise up out of community, if you will, of peoples. And we've carried a lot of this stuff since antiquity, things that we encounter today in many different forms of corruption, and certainly if news is your big thing, if that's your hot button, if you want to get stimulated today, perhaps you could stop off at the local feed store and pick up a cattle prod and from time to time just insert it in the appropriate orifice and turn it on. And I think it would have just about as much stimulation as I get out of the news off the internet regurgitorium. As I said today, most of the news is pointing us in other directions so that we don't look at home, where the real troubles are. This is where we're going to need to get started. And I hope those of you that were tuned in yesterday listened to the interview with Bob Parker, who's running for Congress here in Missouri, the 8th District. That's about the southeast quarter. That's not quite a quarter, but it's a large district, 26 or 28 counties. He said 28. I count 26 on the map, but maybe there's been a little bit of gerrymandering going on. But this huge district there is a beautiful portion of Missouri, and it's right along the Mississippi River. And, of course, that ground has history that goes back probably as far back as the Nile. Anyway, let's go back into this discussion. The Aryan Law, Chapter 3, John Maxey Zane, where he continues and he talks about it. He says its main developments correspond to the descendants again of the three sons of Noah, the Hamites, the Semites, and the sons of Japheth. Of course, if you look in your Bible in Genesis and look at the lineage of Japheth, you'll find that his descendants are the Ashkenaz, and the Ashkenazim make up about 70% of the population of Israel. We've talked about that before. The ethnologist of Genesis was sound on the main fact of the single origin of the Caucasic race, even if the exploits of the temporary mariner, Noah, strain our credulity. There seems no reason to doubt that the original Nilotic race was approximately as dark as were the ancient Egyptians and Berbers. A great mass of this race passed to the north, and in the lapse of ages, for apparent reasons, became bleached into whiteness, and in the farther north, into blondness. So I guess that's what happened to my family genes, being very white and very blonde myself. But a great mass of this race passed to the north, and in the lapse of ages, the author writes, for apparent reasons, became bleached into whiteness, and in the farther north, into blondness. One great spreading migration of this race peopled the shores of the Mediterranean. It is called the Mediterranean race. A part of the ancient inhabitants of Italy, Greece, France, Spain, and the British Isles belonged to this race. They're found as their northern neighbors, another Caucasian race or white race, who are called the Alpines. And with them, the northern portions of the Mediterranean became mixed. The Alpines may have been tinged with Mongolian blood. Almost all of Western Asia belonged to this, to the Semitic portion of this Caucasian race. Still farther to the north dwelt the part of the Caucasics that was afterwards to figure in ethnology as the Indo-European or Aryan race, and this became probably the most mixed of all the races. The blonde portion of this race has in late years been called the Nordics. Their descendants, or supposed descendants, have considered these Nordics a superior race, but this is a delusion of vanity and self-satisfaction. The mixed so-called Aryan race, by migration, was to occupy Persia, northern India, as well as almost the whole of Europe. Some may differ from these classifications. Regardless of other considerations, the fact that this Caucasian race and the Aryan and Semitic portions of it are the only peoples of importance in the development of law among civilized men cannot be controverted. So, where do we get law? We get law largely from the Caucasian race and the Aryan and Semitic portions of it, and none other. At least according to The Story of Law by John Maxey Zane, and this is no sophomoric production. This is quite the book, many, many pages here, lots of references, a very scholarly work. Continuing, the migrations of the Aryan began apparently before those of the Semite, but the Semite earliest flowered, along with the Egyptian Hamite, into a very high civilization, while the Aryan was yet a wandering savage. Now, when we talk about Semites, remember, folks, we're not talking necessarily about what you know today to be the Jews of the Anti-Defamation League. No, not at all. Anybody and everybody that lives in the Nile Basin, in that area in there, Sumer, Babylon, all that, those are the Semites. The modern-day Hebrews are descendants of the Japhetic line, according to the Bible, and may or may not have any relation to the Semitic peoples at all, even though they'd like to call everybody Semitic that doubts that. They put that in the same basket as they put the Holocaust. The Aryan probably owed the civilization which he afterwards obtained to the Semite and to the Mediterranean race. In historical times, we know that the so-called Nordics were civilized through their contacts with the Mediterranean race. It may seem strange that a mention is made of the Egyptians. The fact is that they, with all their talent, do not belong in the line of development, nor can any sound idea of their law be obtained. Until they passed under the Macedonian sway and borrowed much of the Greek law, but they had a very fine sense of justice and a powerful rhetoric appeal to justice, if we may trust their literature. A curious instance of a demand for legal redress against a grafting official remains to prove it. A peasant going from his oasis with his donkeys laden with produce is robbed by an official. He appeals for justice to a superior officer who reports the matter to the king. The latter is so impressed by the peasant's eloquence that he prolongs the case until the peasant has made 9 different speeches upon the high standard of even-handed justice. The king was evidently entranced with the peasant's eloquent eulogy. The translation given runs like this. And here we go. Here's a quote from this ancient tale. "For thou art the father of the orphan, the husband of the widow, the brother of the forsaken maid, the apron of the motherless. Grant that I may set thy name in this land higher than all good laws, thou leader free from covetousness, great one free from pettiness, who bringest to naught the lie and causest the right to be." He reaches still higher in his strain. and pick up that higher strain on the other side. You can see how he was making a very careful pleading to the king.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network. TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available, and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tones the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so we return once again, going back to this eloquent statement, this peasant's eloquent eulogy to the king. And this is a long, long time ago. But this is a translation that is extant today. And you can look at this as I read it and think of the beginnings of modern law court, where you have this eloquent lawyer in there pleading for the bar for justice. He is the champion of his client, if you will. And much weight is given to this idea of obeisance and servitudes and all of that. But just listen to the wording here, where this peasant appealing for justice continues, and he says, "Thou rudder of heaven, thou prop of earth, thou measuring tape, rudder fail not, prop fail not, measuring tape make no error." And that's the end of the quotation. But he certainly deserved to win his case, as he did. His suit was granted, and the official was punished. So it has a little bit to do with brown nosing, I guess you'd say. And certainly much of the teachings you find in the Masonic teachings, you know, Abib, Hiram of Abib, and the various pleadings that they advance in their writings, you know, follow along this line. But continuing here, of the races in the true line of legal development, we will notice the Aryans first, because the Semites at this point of time represent a much higher culture. This Aryan race had the patriarchal household, a state belonging to the family, the sacred fire and the worship of their ancestors in the male or the agnatic line, and the forms of legal customs that go with such a development. At the same time, the aged and decrepit parents were thrust aside. Aryans had yet to learn a lesson in that respect from their Semitic relations. The power of the male head of the family over the family estate and over the conduct and the lives of those of the family was practically absolute. You know, this is this totalitarian lifestyle, the authoritarian lifestyle of the German people that we found during the occupation period of Germany following World War II, where the Office of Information went in and sought to destroy this out of the minds of the Germans, basically taking away this authoritarian patriarchal lineage system. And that's necessary if you want to destroy the family. This, again, was necessary in order to keep the family property together and in order to answer for the members of the family. It was a fairly reasonable rule for the condition of human life. The marriage custom was settled, and the mass of people were monogamous. The chiefs and the rich, however, customarily had more than one wife. It has been said that monogamy was an evidence of the higher culture of the Aryans, and the eulogies of their ancestors on this point have been offered by English and Germans. But the origins of monogamy was probably due wholly to economic factors. The prosaic consideration that Aryans were constantly sending off migratory bands makes it likely that they acted precisely as the beaver acts. When beavers migrate from their fixed home to establish a new one, it is always a pair that departs, and for the same reason, human beings were likely to enter upon their migrations in number of pairs. We may safely assume that the primitive man had as much social sense as the beaver. Instances like that of Abraham or the colonizing of the Greeks could be quoted to prove it. These Aryans had developed from their living in a constant state of movement, an unequal condition. All right? I'm going to back up before going any further in that sentence. These Aryans had developed from their living in a constant state of movement, which is an unequal condition due to the necessity for leaders and a crude sort of military discipline. The priestly function was well developed, and they were ancestor worshippers. Among some of them, the head of the family embodied this worship and was a priest as to its rites. They had also developed a system of serfdom or slavery, but it seems true that the Aryans were not cultivators of the soil. Let me go back and look at the antagonism between the agrarian South and the industrial North that led to the Civil War, the War of Northern Aggression, and we can see a little bit of this there as well, where the Aryans were not really the cultivators of the soil. This has almost always been the case. The slaves and the serfs represented generally captives in war or a conquered race. Whenever the rapacious Aryans came upon tribes cultivating the soil, serfdom took the form of a conquered race bound to the soil, rendering labor and services and grain of some kind of livestock to the master. But the slaves at least migrated with the tribe. Generally, these serfs, bound to the soil, lived in a village community, villeins, tuns, T-O-N-N-E-S, tuns, towns, communities, communitarian law, which represented no doubt the assembled dwellings of a kindred or large family of a subject tribe. And we'll find out more about that when we go into the origins of common law and look at the three-field system and the whole idea of feudalism as it spread towards the West and Europe. The first form of slavery was not an oppressive system. The slaves belonged to the familia, or household. The fact that the slaves or the serfs were of the same race and color made ancient slavery a very different institution from modern Negro slavery. The institution was suited to the Aryan primitive cultivation. Social arrangements were simple. There was practically no division of labor, and of necessity, the dependent classes were used as cultivators of the soil. The simple fact was that slave labor was unpaid labor. Payment for labor when no means of payment exist is legally unthinkable. Now, I highlighted that when I read this book first years ago, because when you take a look at the modern state of affairs in a largely fiat monetary system globally, you can see that payment for labor when no means of payment exists is a legally unthinkable condition. How can we have any payment for labor if no means of payment exists? And certainly the time we spent on Robert Rowan and Ronald P. McDonald's book, They Own It All, Including You, by Means of Toxic Currency, underlines this very concept that was posited here by John Maxey Zane early in the 20s when he first penned this book, 1927. Let's continue. Industrial organizations of this kind can be traced in England from the Briton to the Anglo-Saxon and on to the English manor. Its development is no less clear in France. And it continues. Let's see if I want to continue with it. Yes, I think I will. It has been noted that slavery was a natural development among men, just as it was among ants. So we've had this reference here to human beings existing as beavers, migrating from place to place and leaving in pairs. And of course, with Noah's writings, it was all a coming two by two, correct? And now he's going to relate us to the ants. It has been noted that slavery was a natural development among men, just as it was among ants. Well, it's rather interesting. You have to understand who the authors are as you read these various things. But here's something from an earlier segment, the very opening pages of this book. Human animals, John Maxey Zane writes, human animals came out of some lower type of animal with the ways of living creatures who lived in a herd. You can see the viewpoint of the author. This is not created in the image of God writing. This is more of a Darwinian idea, or more of a evolutionary idea, where people came up out of some lower form of animal and previously had traveled about as a herd, I guess, in his writing. But again, it's been noted that slavery was a natural development among men, just as it was among ants. And this fact renders absurd the contention between two men considered jurists, that would be Kohler and Stammler, as to whether slavery was right. We may as well ask, is slavery among the ants right? It is idle to put that question as to primitive men, because they had no doubts on this subject. Be right back. Stay with us.
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. They can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pasteurize and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled seapanel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers, the most dangerous talk show in America.
Weekdays at 9 p.m. Central on Oracle Broadcasting.
We've returned once again, and before we bring up Brian from Arizona, and folks, your calls are certainly welcome. It's 866-841-1065. Let me just complete the idea that I had begun here so that we can be sure and get this across and make the past moments of greatest value. Again, the idea here is that it has been noted that slavery was a natural development among men, just as it was among ants. We may well ask, is slavery among the ants right? It is idle to put the question as to primitive men, because they had no doubts on the subject. To them it was natural. Even to Plato or Aristotle it had no moral aspect. It took long ages to develop among men any conception of the rightfulness or wrongfulness of slavery. The fallacy of ascribing to primitive men our ideas of right and wrong ought to be apparent to any thinking man. So we can look at what has basically come. We believe we are free, those who falsely believe they're free. We believe that we have freedom in a system of abject wage slavery. It is no different today than it was at this time so many thousands of years ago that most of the people on the global plantation are slaves. when that alarm clock rings at 5 o'clock in the morning and you tumble out of bed and you go off to work and you work your day away for day wages and you come home, even if you're making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year, dollars, those Federal Reserve things, you're still not in the middle class. You're still part of the Workers of the World Unite group. You're still a slave for pay. Let's go live now to Brian in Arizona. Good morning, Brian. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, most of these idiots that pay into the IRS work till May. You know, there's no reason to file income tax ever again. And there hasn't been any reason to do it for the last 30 years. It makes you a slave. And the debt, the borrower is servient to the lender. And I tell you what, it's starting to crumble in Arizona now. They're closing 11, not one, not two, not 10, but 11 ADOT offices all around the state. When have you ever heard of an ADOT office closing without two or three more opening up? 11 of them are being shut down in Arizona. It's finally hitting the state. And our wonderful, brilliant governor came out with a letter that says, gee, we're a few hundred million in debt. We're going to take all of the illegal aliens in jail who are nonviolent and give them back to the feds and ICE. Gee, what a brilliant, brilliant thought. And anyone who's here illegally doesn't get government aid anymore. Gee, why don't we bring another 20 million Mexicans in here and give them government aid? Who the hell should be collecting government aid that's not legal? And thirdly, the last brilliant move she's going to make, if you do not live in this state, you cannot collect money from this state. Why would we be giving money to someone who doesn't live in this state? You know what I believe welfare should be? You get a week of welfare, and then your ass works. You don't work, you don't eat. Go buy yourself a mirror and watch yourself starve to death. Their lazy asses would get out and pick weeds in people's yards, or it would do something. These fat Mexicans sit at home and have 97 kids, and we are supposed to pay. Not in my book. I have the taxes since 1984, and I am very proud of it. And I suggest everybody do the same. Tell the IRS to shove it. Shove it to high hell, and I'm pissed and mad as hell, and I'm done with the system. They can all go screw themselves.
Okay, that's enough of that. Brian, you have a lot of good, you got a lot of good, good points, but unfortunately you mix it in with, language that's just really not appropriate for the air. I can empathize with your point of view, however, because we really just have come to the point, in the gravy train where the gravy's gonna stop flowing. And so it's going to take some time for us to be able to, recover from the insanity of trying to follow a twin models. One of them is the Keynesian model of economics that actually so many people, young people, and were educated into this poison. The idea that in the schools of economics, the idea that you can spend your way into prosperity. Even the usurper is trying to do this right now, as though they're just stuck on stupid. They're stuck on a false economic model. And then second, the idea of the social organization known as socialism, which is basically just another rob Peter to pay Paul program. And Brian's absolutely right. If you're going to receive handouts, then you should certainly do something to compensate for that handout. If I can understand if someone wasn't able to find employments. But when you can't find employments and you need to appeal for public assistance, there are plenty of projects that we could do that we don't need to be hiring people to do. There are projects that could be done for people on an exchange basis for some kind of a shelter over their head and maybe some food, you know, gruel in the bowl. But, you know, there's just so many things. It goes right back to this. The comment here is that we judge or ascribe to the primitive man our ideas of what right and wrong ought to be without any thinking. When we look at people who are down on their luck and out of luck, it once was that they would appeal to the church. And one of the reasons that the church was given carte blanche on accepting and taking tithes and accepting and receiving lands bequeathed to the church was that they were then responsible for, not to be necessarily held accountable for, but responsible for those in their parish. And so the indigent and the poor and all that, you know, they would come and they would appeal to the church, and then the church would do everything they could do to make them productive people as soon as possible to get them not only on the, off the dole, but back up on their feet again. But when they go to the mommy state and all they have to deal with is perhaps, as Brian alluded, some obese person sitting there behind the desk just punching numbers, crunching numbers, and handing out checks, they're not getting the information they really need to get. Even the Bible teaches that you don't give a man a fish, you teach someone how to fish so that they can feed themselves thereafter. So there are many models that have fallen by the wayside, and some of this points all the way back thousands of years to the beginnings, and this continues our story of the law. The joint family property still continued among these Arians. Joint family property. We're going to talk about property in the second hour. But the same form of patriarchal family or household is found among the Semites, the Indian Aryans, the Slavonic tribes, the Celts, and the Germans. It received its highest development among the Romans, yet each male member of the family could, for himself, attain property of his own, except possibly among the early Latins. This family estate and land at first was inalienable by the head of the family. And that's very important. Here the author uses inalienable. There are two words. One is inalienable. The other is unalienable. They're not synonymous, but they are oftentimes used that way. And we need to be aware of the distinction between them. One, inalienable is something by operation of the law where one's right in land could be aliened or leaned away from them. Whereas unalienable infers the natural law where we would have certain rights that come from our Creator and not from any institution of man, and they cannot be separated from the man. And I like to start that whole dialogue off very simply just by saying that man moves. He's an animate creature. And any restriction of their movement violates the basic natural law that man moves. And man will continue to struggle and struggle and struggle even if he's bound in chains. Why? Well, because man moves. And it goes from there. It can build out to the most elaborate system of law that you want, but it starts with these basic fundamental principles, the unalienable rights or attributes, which I think would be much better than saying rights, the unalienable attributes or the unalienable natural laws of man. And continuing again here, we're talking about property. And we're going back to this idea of the joint property that has risen up over thousands and thousands of years among our peoples. So much of our law is based on property that there's no better place to start than property. And we will when we come back from these messages. Stay with us.
Claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at EndlessFraudDetection.com today.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc, the home of cutting-edge talk radio, online, worldwide, at OracleBroadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Tuesday, February the 2nd, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. OracleBroadcasting.com, where you can find our show archives page and go back and look at the months and months and months of broadcasts that we've done here. No repeats. That's the way I like to do it. It's always smart to learn every single day. There's no reason to just go back and hammer something to death. But there are certain themes that we do reinforce with all of this learning, though. That's for sure. And there's certainly room for more people on the broadcast. We've got lots of room in the bandwidth to take more people on. So perhaps over the next couple of days, you could send out some emails to the people that you know. And if you value the information that you hear each morning, let others know. Let's not keep this to ourselves. It's not a secret society. Let's spread it to the four winds and get more people listening to the broadcast. But anyway, continuing again, this idea of property, which is so absolutely fundamental to a free people. This family estate in land at first was inalienable by the head of the family. I draw your attention to that. And upon his death, it still remained to the family. It was considered as granted by the tribe to each family. The personal estate was not alienable. All right, so we use the word here. The family estate in land at first was inalienable by the head of the family. And here, just in the next sentence, the personal estate was not alienable. So one is inalienable, the next is not alienable. Here again, we're reinforcing this use as these being synonymous expressions. But what is an inflammable liquid? Look it up in your dictionary. Will an inflammable liquid burn? If an inflammable liquid burns, then an inalienable right is one that can be taken away. It can be aliened. So unalienable is a proper way of stating it. Inalienable seems to be a common thread, a new trend, blurring of understandings. Alien is at the very bottom of that, but lien is inside it all. Lienable. And again, when we look at the toxic currency, it carries with it a hypothecation, a lien, hidden with the use of every Federal Reserve note that you've ever circulated. It's that lien that we really want to be paying attention to. Again, the personal estate was not alienable, but upon the death of the head of the family, one-third was reserved to the family, and one-third went to the deceased's funeral equipment, while the other third was spent in carousing when the corpse was cremated. One-third of the estate was spent in carousing. I guess they didn't stand around and have a wake wringing their handkerchiefs in those days. They partied, baby. And if the man was rich, they partied hardy. It is needless to say that in later times, the reservation of a third to the dead man went to the church. This early distinction between the inalienable, isn't it amazing? there the church must have been the ones that got you to weep and wail at the death of somebody. They saw all that money going up in cake and ice cream and quality wines and beer and booze and girls and dancing bears and clowns, and they said, hey, we could get that. And so they invented the Jesuit order, and then they began to take over people's estates. Anyway, that's my own sidebar. Back to the text. He says, this early distinction between the inalienable land property and the personal property was of immense influence in later law, and it is. It was. It has been. It led directly to the substitution of the eldest son for the father as inheriting the family estate and land, with the duty of providing the common home and endowing the daughters, who were excluded from succession to any interest in the landed properties. The making of a will was, of course, unknown, for it could not be conceived of until language came to be written. Pick it up right there on the other side of this break. Much more to come. Stay with me.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Take Cartivite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartivite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartivite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known, with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartivite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartivite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tone the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartivite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. They can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pass. Pasteurize and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So we find again that the idea of making a will, of course, was dependent upon coming into written language. And it wasn't really until we started to develop language as a written skill and widely distributed, everyone understanding it, not just the high priest, that our system of law really started to expand. You can imagine today, you can understand today, that when these lawgivers, lawmakers, the Congress whores, put out bills, pieces of legislation running into the thousands of pages that they have perverted the use of language. Now they're using language as a weapon, using language as a game, a symbolic game, such that one could never know what they had to say, ever learning, never coming to any knowledge of the truth, not being able to be brief, not filing a brief, but being overly wordy, and trying to be everything to everybody while at the same time being nothing to everyone. So there's much of a perversion that has come down the pike in all of this. There remains various collections of law of different Aryan tribes after the great Aryan migrations, which are not yet properly classified and arranged. Developments, hundreds, it may be thousands of years apart, are found side by side. Primitive collections of such laws are the Hindu collections in their sacred writings, the Brehon law of the Celts, the Germanic laws that are in some respects more primitive. The Teutonic customs will be reserved for the story of the English law later, in order to show its beginnings with the Anglo-Saxon customs grafted on the Briton or Celtic or older organization of the conquered Celtic tribes. And then although these Hindu and Brehon laws of certain early Aryan tribes are in point of time later than the Babylonian law, we can use them as illustrating the more primitive condition out of which the civilized system of laws arose. And I'll stop right there because we're now entering into a section of the text that discusses the Hindu laws or the laws of Manu. And so going back to Andrew J. Galambos again, his thrust for freedom, I've referred to this book that was given to me, at least I was exposed to this book by one of our the members of our Ron Paul meetup group. I then was so stimulated by it, I finally was able to track down a copy for myself and was able to return the one that had been loaned. But this, chapter one, begins with property. When we're starting to look for the thrust for freedom, when we're starting to come around to an understanding of freedom, we need to have some fundamental basic principles, and property is the most fundamental of all. And here's the way that Andrew J. Galambos, quite the logician himself, talks about property. What is property? He's going to define it for us now, give us a meaning and a sense of the term. What is property? Most people think of property in terms of material possessions, much the way as John Maxie Zane had styled it here, talking about an estate and lands and personal property like your knife and your bow and things like that and your horse. What is property? Most people think of property in terms of material possessions. Because of this, many have successfully denounced the morality of the pursuit of material well-being and claimed it produces conflicts with human rights. Rights, rights. Soon you'll know what it's like to have no rights any longer. But when Karl Mordecai Marx sat down with his pen and with Friedrich Engels working for the English positivists, they came up with the Communist Manifesto. The abolition of private property was high on their list. Perhaps they understood, perhaps they didn't understand just exactly the fallacy they were advancing. This is the way that Andrew J. Galambos continues. He says, the above is a restricted and erroneous point of view on property. A more satisfying and total concept arises from the following definition, and here's his definition of property. As the French say, qu'est-ce que c'est? Property. What is property? What is it that it is? Property is individual man's life and all non-procreative derivatives of his life. Right? It starts so simply. Most valuable property that you have is your life. Without your life, then everybody's going to split up everything that's left over and they'll drink up a third of it, they'll inherit a third of it, and they'll give a third of it away. Property is the basis of ownership because to own means to have and hold property. From the definition of property, it follows that man must first own his own life before he can own anything else. And yet, the freedom movement, abject in their wage slavery, can't see the forest for the trees. They don't own their own life. even so much as their own life. Let's continue along here. It says, life is itself is defined as primordial property from time out of mind. Primordial property. No one may own any man but himself. Thus, property excludes slavery at the outset. But we can find, as our authors did, traces of man slavery for as far back as you can care to look. The first derivative of man's life are his thoughts and his ideas. Thoughts and ideas are defined as primary property. So we have the primordial property, that would be your physical being, the chalice that carries around your brain, your mind, your spirit. And then thoughts and ideas are defined as primary property. And from that definition, man owns primary property. And through this ownership, intellectual freedom arises and inspires knowledge and production. From your primary property, your thoughts and your ideas stem all of your actions. It's not enough to just know a thing, then you have to act upon that which you know. Otherwise, you haven't transferred your primary property into either personal or real property. From primary property, again, stem the actions. Ownership of one's actions, clearly a property right, is commonly called liberty. Liberty, then, as well as life itself, is a property right. Since all so-called human rights depend upon man's liberty, it follows that all human rights are property rights, and there can be, in this, no conflict. Well, I can conflict with this a little bit, in that I draw an even finer distinction between freedom and liberty than our author. Liberty, in my mind, is like nothing else than freedom that has been outfitted with a dog collar and a leash. Freedom doesn't have those restraints. It doesn't have the restraint of someone else establishing when you come, when you go, what you dress, how you dress, what you eat, what you drink, and so on and so forth. Liberty is a situation, a servile situation, of man living in large numbers and in proximity to other men. Liberty can be set aside when you live out in the country on your own land, as long as you're on your own land. As soon as you climb into a vehicle or fork a horse, climb on the buckboard and start to head for town, then you have to remember the liberties that you have. Anyway, we'll be back in a few moments to continue this discussion on the concept of property.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs.
They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
If a claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
Radio X, with your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And we've returned once again, competing as we are with Bubba the Love Sponge, and Baltimore never stops talking about sports radio this morning on the air. One of these days I'd like to have more listeners than Bubba the Love Sponge. You know, I mean, you know, hey, come on. I get up every morning, come to the radio, but Bubba the Love Sponge just seems to outdo me every single morning on Shoutcast. Anyway, one of these, that's, I guess that's a goal for me to set. That's a bar I need to set for myself. I need to be more informative than Bubba the Love Sponge, whatever that is. Anyway, back to Andrew J. Galambos here, thinking along things a little higher than that. He also then continues and says, ideas and actions produce further or secondary derivatives. These include access to land and the use of land and the production, utilization, enjoyment, and disposal of material, tangible goods of all kinds, from ashtrays to television sets, from log cabins to skyscrapers, and from ox carts to jet planes. This all comes out of our ideas and actions. And young and old alike can sit down and, with pen and paper perhaps, design ideas for automobiles and boxcars and trains and planes and everything imaginable. And we need to have some more of that creative juices flowing in this country instead of people watching, listening to Bubba the Love Sponge. We could surely use some more of that. But these ideas and actions of such are called secondary property. They're secondary both logically and chronologically. In all instances, their existence is antedated by primary property, which led to their generation and employment in the first place. So everything flows from your ideas and then out into your actions, and it is from your actions that you begin to accumulate, like raccoons or crows that love shiny things, or pack rats. We accumulate things, but those things flow out of the ideas and the actions from our mind. Certainly in priority of things, if the body is the chalice or the box to preserve, protect, and defend the mind is your chiefest, most property of all. Why would you turn your mind over to Bubba the Love Sponge? Further, derivatives of man's life lead to voluntary transactions involving property transfers, and that would be sales, trades, gifts, etc. Involuntary property transfers are derivative not from the property owner's life, but from the life of the coercer. Talk about that in the past when we read from Bastiat, the law. Basically, just using the force, the coercion. Government. Therefore, property ceases to remain property and is converted to plunder when subjected to involuntary or coercive transfer. virtually everything that we have ever had in our possession has, because of the use of this toxic currency called the Federal Reserve Note, not just in the United States, but as we read the foreign exchange rates every day, virtually every country is under the same burden. There is no payment being made. We're just handing around script, concentration camp script. And as a result, everything, having been converted to plunder, is subjected to an involuntary or coercive transfer. And this needs to be stopped. Has to be. Children, being young human beings, and I don't like the use of the word, I found in my own researches in political science that a human being is simply a politically socialized creature. And that when a creature has not been socialized, they're nothing but a mere base animal, and that just goes against the grain as far as I'm concerned. I like to think of men and women, young men, young women, and infants, as opposed to human beings, humming bees, Mandeville's bees. You might read that book for yourself. Children have property rights of their own and cannot themselves be owned. Children are not, therefore, property. Unless we go back into manhood slavery again. Your ownership of property is the basis of all that you are, all that you have, and all that you can hope to achieve. Therefore, protect your property as though your life depended upon it, because it does. Now, Galambos goes on and he talks about freedom. If we can accept that as a fundamental basic principle, property is the cheapest most of all, then what is freedom? And who stands for freedom? Everyone claims he is for freedom. But to most people, freedom, Galambos writes, represents the condition that exists when their own views prevail over all others. And this is not freedom. You're not free when your views, your interests, your own limited self-interest prevail over all others. That's not freedom. It's just a transference of who's going to be the master and who's going to be the slave. Here's freedom, according to Andrew Galambos. Freedom is the societal condition that exists when every individual has full or 100% control over his own property. When you have full control, 100% of the time, over your own property, that starts with your mind, your spirit, your body, and then all of your ideas and all of your actions. When you have control over that 100% of the time, you are free. It is a condition I don't think that man has at any time in history ever attained. But it is that long sought for goal that keeps us getting up every morning as we move into more and more freedom and less totalitarian and despotic control over our lives. But there's a corollary in this, in that if freedom is that societal condition that exists when every individual has full or 100% control over his own property, the corollary there must be that you have 0% control over the property of your neighbor or of anyone else. We have to give to the other person that which we desire for ourselves if we're going to have that freedom. So we start with property and we start with freedom. And in this, we find the origins of law. Going back again, and I went up on the internet and looked around quite a bit in regards to Dillavou and Howard's Principles of Business Law, 9th edition. Folks, if you want a copy of this, they are available. You may get them for as little as a dollar or something and used in a deplorable condition. You might spend as much as $30 or $40 for a new copy. But if you'd like to have this 1,139-page book, you can get it through Amazon. Just access Amazon on Oracle's homepage, and you could buy a copy for yourself. Alibri has them as well. If you just type in Dillavou, D-I-L-L-A-V-O-U, D-I-L-L-A-V-O-U, Dillavou and Howard, just like it sounds, Howard, Principles of Business Law, you'll get a few pages on the net. What I was surprised, and there would be places there that you could acquire the book. Alibri Books has it. Amazon has it. A few copies are out there. But what I was struck by was that there's very little to be known about the authors. Usually you can find out quite a bit. The most I know about Howard is that he was a chairman, I guess, of the Oregon State Bar Association, and Dillavu was the chairman of the board, chairman emeritus of university. I think it was Illinois. Beyond that, there's precious little available. But it is a seminal textbook. It's one that has been around for a long time. So it's a pretty good law book we're working from here. And this out of chapter 49, The Concept of Property, which we'll pick up when we come back from this break. It talks about all aspects of life are concerned with and are affected by property. So here's harmony between Galambos and our authors. So stay with us.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Visit us online at oraclebroadcasting.com.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tone the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
All right, so we'll be able to understand a little bit more there about how these all work together, these various books and texts that we're laying out here. We go back to the historian, the story of law, John Maxey Zane, and we can go all the way back thousands of years. And we pick up the rise of these Aryan people, and it has nothing to do with the swastika or Auschwitz or Bergen-Belsen or forget about that nonsense. We just set that aside. We look at that. That was written in the 1920s. Thrust for Freedom, Andrew Galambos, that's 1960s. From a logician, one's a historian and a law, a jurisprude himself. Then we go to a man who has a science background, and he's a logician, Andrew Galambos, and he's writing, gives us the idea. And then here, again, into the legal mind of Delavaux and Howard. This book has been around for close to 60 years, something like that. This is the ninth edition, published in 1971, contemporary with Thrust for Freedom. But here we're back to the same idea, the concept of property. All of law, I mean, if we miss this fundamental step, we miss the entire understanding of law. You can't even begin to start talking about law until you can understand the concept of property. It all rises out of that. There would be virtually no reason for law at all if it wasn't for property and an understanding of property and an understanding that has come with us for thousands of years. So again, chapter 49, out of our law book here, legal textbook, going to school on law, the concept of property, chapter 49, 7.1, introduction. All aspects of life are concerned with and are affected by property. One of the more powerful motivating forces in our society is the desire of people to acquire, use, and dispose of property. And don't forget that there's slavery involved in this as well. All right? If you don't think that's a powerful motivating force in our society, you're sadly mistaken. The idea of having labor and providing employment and being able to capitalize on that. Remember when we studied economics? Property is a man's life and all non-procreative derivatives of his life. And one of the more powerful motivating forces in our society is the desire of people to acquire, use, and dispose of property, which includes the chattels, the cattle on the field, the people. Beasts of burden. Property is the reason for and the subject matter of economic activity. How can we even begin a study of business law without a discussion of property? Property is a measure of wealth and success. It is the substance of business transactions. All of the lex mercatoria, the law merchant, all of admiralty and commerce has to do with business transactions. The right to acquire, use, and dispose of private property exists to some degree in all cultures. You see, but then the Marxists desired the abolition of private property. You can see the conundrum, the fallacy. Such as they begin badly, as Aristotle wrote, they cannot help but to end badly. Socialism, in any of its derivations, is based on such a false social model, it cannot help but to end badly. And it requires that we look inside it, because you know that Marx was well enough researched and a competent historian himself, as was Engels, that there was another motive going on. They created this Workers of the World Unite phenomena to entice people to join their league, the League of Nations and others, only so that they could bring them from a thesis, antithesis, into their synthesis. And the synthesis was complete and total domination of all the workers of the world by the new master. New lies for old, as they say. Property, again, is a measure of wealth and success. It is the substance of business transactions. The right to acquire, use, and dispose of private property exists to some degree in all cultures. Even in Haiti. Even in sub-Saharan Africa. But the extent to which individuals have private property rights varies greatly from culture to culture and society to society, depending on the economic system and the social structure involved. In our capitalistic system, the authors write, we place major emphasis on private property. One of our basic civil rights has been the right to own, possess, and dispose of private property. And this didn't just occur overnight. This didn't just occur after Karl Mordecai Marx wrote Capitalism, or Capital, Das Kapital, which I've read and it's in my library. No. This has been coming on us and at us for thousands of years. Again, one of our basic civil rights, civil, juris civilis, Rome, civil rights, get into that, civil rights, 42 USC, what is it, 1981? Thanks, Hal, for bringing that to my attention and sticking it into my memory. Go up and type it into your browsers. Do it during the broadcast, 42 USC 1981, and get a, put, as Hal Anthony says on his broadcast, behind the woodshed, put the black and white in your eyes and find out what your civil rights are really about. Rights. Penalties and exactions of every kind. Taxations. That's what you got with civil rights. Thanks to Martin Luther King and all of his followers. In socialistic societies, the emphasis has been not on private property, but on public property. I see. Communitarian Law 101 there. Today in our capitalistic society, private property rights are frequently being subordinated to the public interest. As, for example, in the case of zoning laws. And in socialistic countries, individuals are now allowed to own some private property. If any common denominator exists between capitalism and socialism, it is that each system is moving towards more emphasis on the basic approach of the other. Did you catch that? It was written in 1971. This is the ninth edition of their writings. Is that for a very great long time period, capitalism and socialism have been moving to the center, capitalism being the thesis, socialism being the antithesis, the greatest good of the greatest number, communitarianism being the synthesis, and as the authors write, that in socialistic countries, today in our capitalistic society, private property rights are frequently being, and in socialistic countries, blah, 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 if any common denominator exists between capitalism and socialism, it is that each system is moving toward more emphasis on the basic approach of the other. We are tending more and more toward restrictions on private property rights because of the public interest. And in socialist countries, the trend is more towards, I'm distracted because I have a compressor coming on in my shop. I'm sorry, I can hear it. I hope you can't. But the trend is more, is toward more private property rights because of the need for incentives. Now, pause right there. In the socialist societies, it was early on discovered that the individual will not produce if there's no ownership. That you could pretend to work, but what you're doing you care not for because you have no way of gaining from this. You could live on a collective or a commune, but if the weeds are growing up along the margins, you could care less. It's not in your daily drill. It's not something that you need to do. You don't own the land. It's not your weeds. It's not your responsibility to pick those weeds. And so you just walk right by it. It's like garbage in a park. In a socialistic society, people would just walk right by the garbage in a park and never think about it because you know that there's a garbage picker-upper coming along soon and it's his job to pick them up. And if you pick them up, he won't have nothing to do. Socialism is a failed system. If there's a hole in the roof of the longhouse, the common building, everyone would just move their chairs away from the puddle that grows on the floor at lunch. No one will go up on the roof and fix it in a capitalistic or a private property ownership society. Someone would immediately grab a ladder and some shingles and get up on the roof and fix it before it caused any damage. After all, the damage that it would cause would just detract from his own equity value in the property. So there is a difference. But as our authors say here, under the concept of property, they're moving together, and they've been moving together for decades.
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. It can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pass. Pasteurize and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled seapanel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
You've returned. Well, I can see in our ratings we're moving up against the Baltimore Never Stops Talking Sports. Unfortunately, we still haven't really put Bubba the Love Sponge under pressure yet. Maybe tomorrow we'll do that. I'd like to come in daily above Bubba the Love Sponge. Oh, my God. It's no wonder, folks. The old Roy Rogers repeats, you know, Dinah Shore and all of that. The geriatrics just sit there and suck that stuff up by the hour. And then they go vote. They're also the ones that are sitting around as election judges most often as well. They're the ones that watch over your and preside over your elections. They're also the ones that turn out for all of the Republican Party and Democratic Party bean feeds and dinners and things like that. You've got to be concerned for America. You know that the politicians are not getting challenged here when most of the people that follow them around spend their mornings listening to old Roy Rogers, Dale Heavens broadcasts. Anyway, that's the way it goes in America. The concept of private property is the essential ingredient in a free enterprise economic system. We had a test on that tomorrow. Would everybody remember it? Such an economic system cannot exist without a legal system which creates, protects, and enforces private property rights. Our system has got to continue to create, protect, and enforce private property rights. If it doesn't, our system cannot exist. Went up on the Regurgitorium this morning to gather news for the broadcast, and what did I see? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, a dozen or more articles, all intent upon furthering, you certainly couldn't call it a legal system, but a system of legislation that destroys, takes away, and gives away your private property rights. We've got to turn this around. 2010 is the year. We can make a good start on it this year. By 2012, we could be well in place. We could actually effect a turnaround here. We don't need to go over the cliff just because the bus has momentum. We can stop it. As the law, both statutory and case law, has tended to limit the ownership, possession, use, and disposition of property in the public interest, our economic system has become less free enterprise in character and more regulated or socialistic. And this is what was being taught to the lawyers in 1971. And for 40 years, they have stood by, aiding and abetting, facilitating and being complicit in the destruction of a free enterprise system to their own personal benefit and to the detriment of our entire country, perhaps all of Western man. From the standpoint of its physical characteristics, property is classified as either personal property or real property. And for those of you that live in states like Missouri that assess a tax on both your personal property and your real property, you can know how egregious that is. That's just a continuing assault on our property right. Land and things affixed to or growing upon the land come under the heading of real property. As will be noted, a separate body of real property law has developed both for historical reasons and for reasons associated with the peculiar characteristics of land. All other property is said to be personal property, and in general it is subject to different treatment under the law than is real property. Personal property may be classified as either tangible or intangible, the latter referring to property rights which are invisible, such as accounts receivable. Any definition of property depends upon the context in which it is used. It will be the purpose of the following sections to set out in detail some of the various meanings given to the term property, which we'll continue this week. But having now sat down for well over a month with my nose most afternoons and evenings in this book, coming to some understanding of just what is business law, lex mercatoria, the law merchant, oh boy. As they say, you know, you sometimes have to walk a mile in the other guy's moccasins. Well, our legal beagles here have quite a lot on their plate to deal with in law when it comes to commercial law. It's an enormous field. And as we've talked about many times in the past, there are those in this division of labor world that we live in, pluralistic society that we live in, there are those who come upon certain specialized knowledge and specialized languages that then, once they've got these mysteries, you know, the mystery schools, they go up in this great sandstone wall of life, they carve themselves out a little niche, and they crawl up into their little niche and wall themselves in with knowledge, language skills, and other crafts and trades, and then they hang out their shingle and sell it to all those that are hapless passersby. And this is precisely the system of law. From my understanding so far in all of this, and of course I've studied a considerable quantity of the history of law and the origins of all the various kinds and schools and theories and thoughts of law, but now I'm into the actual process. And I can tell you that it's all based upon definitions. If you don't know and understand the meanings of the words, you're lost in a court of law. Absolutely lost. And when we look at the things that are coming out of Wall Street and off of Pennsylvania Avenue, when we can understand that the American Bankers Association was created, and then the American Bar Association was created, and then they created their Uniform Commission on Law, and then the legislative bill drafting agencies were created, and basically we were just infiltrated by bankers and lawyers in our state houses, our county courthouses, and in the U.S. Capitol. It's no surprise they've taken us over, this race known as the lawyers and bankster gangsters. They're almost inseparable. How could you actually know how to adroitly and expertly play the markets if you didn't understand the fine points of contract law and assignments and notes? There's a lot of places that we can go in this book. Little segments, vignettes, segues. But if you can afford to do it and have a desire to do so, as I mentioned in the earlier in the broadcast, this textbook is available. It is on the internet through Amazon, which you can access right off the Oracle Network's homepage. And maybe Oracle will get 10 cents out of that, but at least it would let Amazon know that we live, we exist. Maybe I could get more listeners than Bubba the Love Sponge. But this book is available. And although I would doubt that most people would be able to endure going through all 1,130 some odd pages, you would not necessarily have to read the entire device as to use the book as a reference tool and go in and look at various parts and pieces from time to time, just as we're going to do this week on property law and a continuing of the history of law that goes with it. But it's a very interesting book in that it is one of the three primary schools of teaching law. In this particular school, they use both the definitions and then the cases, case law, to go with it as examples. And this particular textbook includes not only the teaching segments and the case law, but then, of course, like any textbook, asks questions at the end of each chapter. And it's through all three of those that if you're homeschooling, if you are a senior or someone that is unemployed, out of work, or otherwise disposed to have lots of free time, and you want to do continuing education on your own, this textbook will help you to understand law quite well, I think, from what I've seen so far. I'm on my second read. This time I'm going dead ahead slow, underlining, highlighting, cross-referencing, and reading all the law. And there are other books probably out there as well, and if you know of one, I'd like to hear from you. Well, that's it for our today. We're all out of time. Thank you for listening. Until tomorrow, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
If a
claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzy noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc. Looking for news and real information? You found it. This is OracleBroadcasting.com.